diverse, informative, local, and Canadian artists, CFBU FM 103.7.
Yes to Defund Brock Radio campaign spokesperson. Thank you for joining me for this Brock Radio broadcast interview.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a wonderful opportunity.
The referendum question that you are the spokesperson for is, quote, do you support the removal of the $1.50 per credit ancillary fee for Brock University student radio? What's the central complaint that you have about Brock Radio?
The big issue that we have with Brock Radio is that we feel that Brock Radio is more of a community radio station, not a campus radio station. We have issue with the student representation who was found, both working at the radio station, even student awareness about the radio station can be an issue. We don't think there's a lot of, students are funding 86% of your budget, and there's certainly not 86% of student representation here.
So last year, Brock Radio passed a referendum with 51.5% of the vote in a March 2012 referendum. Why has this issue come back to referendum only 1 year later?
Excellent question. So I was looking over the MOU documents of the question that was asked, and to be honest, we just feel that the MOU wasn't explicit enough. There wasn't enough information there. There wasn't enough kind of guidance for more student oversight. We just feel that there's gaping loopholes in that MOU. For example, that MOU doesn't guarantee that students are a member of, that students are not members of the radio organization. Why is that not the case when we pay for it?
In previous discussions with you and other members of the campaign team, there was some suggestion that this move was an attempt to reform Brock Radio. However, none of the campaign materials suggest this at all. The materials instead say, you pay, but you have no say, and other sort of campaign statements. Mm-hmm. How can the public feel comfortable defunding Brock Radio without any guarantees that we are trying to refund it and reform it?
Really good question. And I want to answer this in two parts because there's two really important issues there. So you raise the issue of how we're actually going about campaigning. So we're campaigning because we want to raise student awareness and get them kind of angry at the fact that right now they pay, but they have no say. They're not members of the collective, which means they can't orchestrate how the board functions. They're not aware that they have these voting rights and that they have these opportunities because they don't have them right now. They're not guaranteed them. In order to get them, they have to volunteer for 8 hours. So they don't have them right out of the gate. And we just kind of think that's an issue, so they should. That's why you pay, but you have no say. In terms of the second part of the question, in terms of that there's no guarantee, that comes back to the you pay but have no say. We cannot run a referendum. The student body cannot run a referendum that will change the structure of the organization, because legally we are not members of the organization. So in order to do something like that, we'd have to become members. We have to volunteer 8 hours a week, which is a lot to do as students.
Just 8 hours once.
Not
8 hours a
week.
No.
Okay. Thank you for correcting me. So in terms of the 8 hours, it is still a lot to ask for. And especially if I'm coming to volunteer with the sole purpose of fixing things, I understand the counterargument to that as well. How can you fix something if you don't know how it works? Well, right now we don't know how it works because we're not a part of it. So we think in order to be a part of it, we want to guarantee that students can be a part of it. So by guaranteeing that, I lost my train of thought. We want to guarantee that students can be a part of the organization. We want to guarantee that there isn't any kind of selection biases that are taking place over there, that students who are looking to get involved are guaranteed to get involved and will have a positive experience getting involved.
Is there an inconsistency between the expectations placed on Brock Radio and the other student media organizations? For example, Brock Press and Brock TV both have their own cultures. And do the students as members of BUSU have direct say over what happens at Brock Press or Brock TV?
Really good question. So to be perfectly honest with you, I strongly believe that students need to look at all of these organizations, at every organization that they're paying for, every kind of ancillary fee, and they need to start thinking, do I get proper representation here? Is the purpose of this being fulfilled with a student perspective? Am I okay with how this money is being spent right now? I'm not perfectly familiar with the structure of Brock TV or Brock Press. I do know from having Brock Press interviews and Brock TV interviews, they seem to be much more student focused. They have the advantage of being on campus. We recognize that that is not something that you can do. That's not really something that you're in a position to change. Being said, they have that leg up on you, which means that I almost feel you do kind of have to do more because you're not on campus. It's a difficult position that you're in, not being on campus, without a doubt. And sorry, by you, I'm meaning Brock Radio. I think I should clarify, I'm not exactly attacking Shandor. So by Brock Radio not being on campus, it's not that we expect more from them, it's that we want them to be at the same level. So we want them to be able to come, to kind of come forward, to be comfortable coming forward. And so that way students know about them and will get more involved. For example, Brock TV, every single host of Brock TV is a student. The writers of the Brock Press, majority of them are students or very recent students. So the recent graduates. Is that really the case with Brock Radio? I don't have the figures for Brock Radio. I've looked online at your hosting information. There's not any information about who hosts are. So we don't even know what host is a student, what host isn't one. In terms of just talking with students out there and listening to some of the shows, they don't seem like students. So that's something I am curious about, is just the number of students who are on-air hosts, or the number of students who are directly working here now. To kind of even give more perspective to the question, in the Bug article, Deborah posted a question. One of our points is that students aren't using the service, and that students aren't getting involved with Brock Radio. It's the figure has been jumped around that last year 90 students came and got trained. How many of those students stuck around? How many of those students completed the 8 hours? How many of them stuck around? How many of them are still here? What's your retention rate? I mean, if you train 90 students, but there aren't 90 students still here, where'd they go? Why'd they leave?
Sure, those are reasonable questions, and I believe that we can get into some of the explanations for that. Of course, in my role presently interviewing you, I'm not in a position to respond to any of those points, but we will be having Deborah Kartmer later in this broadcast to address some of those points. Let's just go through some more of the questions that we have. So I wanted to touch on the point you raised about being at the same level as Brock TV and Brock Press. And note that it's only $1.50 per credit for Brock Radio, but Brock TV receives $3 per credit. Brock TV does not have any licensing requirements in order to run, whereas Brock Radio does. So Brock Radio has half the budget of Brock TV and of Brock Press, which is $2.70 a credit. So would it be potentially, in order to bring Brock Radio to the level of Brock TV, simply increase the ancillary fee instead of defunding it?
Really valid question. And that's something that, to be honest, I want to work with you guys on. I want to figure that out. Like you hinted at in an earlier question, the idea of running this defunding question is to actually get a greater reform out of Brock Radio. So that's something that working with you guys, if this passes, so if this goes through, even if it doesn't, I want to work with you so that way we can make this more campus focused. So absolutely something to look at is just see those kind of funds. My counter to that, however, would be currently you're sitting on a surplus of $247,000 from as of your 2013 audited statements. You're pocketing, well, not pocketing, but like your assets each year are in the neighborhood of $23,000. On hand, I don't have the amounts that the other press organizations have that work at Brock, but I would be curious to know, are they sitting on $250,000 of student funds? Because, I mean, there's money available that you're not spending in your surplus. I get that there are plans for it, but it seems to me that $250,000 worth of plans, that's a lot of plans.
Sure, and I have sort of this response, and that's that BUSU itself collects $1.3 million in Division One, and more than $500,000 into the Strategic Expansion Fund, and $280,000 goes to the BUSAC Fund. There are millions of dollars unspent by BUSU. Is it not hypocritical to accuse Brock Radio of nefarious financial practices when the mothership of student governments is massively flush with extra cash?
Yeah, great question. One, I'm not here representing BUSU. So
sure.
I sit on BUSAC. I can't give eloquent statements about where that money is going. But I want to do my best to answer it based on the knowledge that I have, being a BUSAC counselor. So can you just hit me with each fee kind of one at a time, and I'll do my best to kind of
fill it. So Division One of BUSU is a $1.3 million budget, and the Strategic Expansion Fund is $7 per credit, and that is $500,000 a year that goes into savings for future development. Yes.
Student Expansion Fund. We'll just hit them one at a time, so that way I can make sure to kind of answer them. So collect about $550,000 a year, so a little over $500,000. This money is designed with the idea that if an idea comes up, for that way we can expand, so for student expansion, so an idea of having a new building somewhere, maybe be that downtown, or the idea of let's do something good for students on campus, or something that we can do it. This way we don't have to run, a referendum will need to be run so that we can access the money, but there's no wait for that money. The money is already collected and is already there. Whether that's a good idea or not, that's something that I can't really answer, because it's something that the fee's been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to have that question be called to students, for sure. Do you still want this to go on? And that's something for, I think, future discussion.
So, but you do understand the parallel I'm drawing, and that is the organization of Brock University's Student Radio Inc. Retains a certain amount of funds in its account. Some suggest this is a rainy day fund. And of course, we're going to hear later in the broadcast from Deborah Cartmer herself, the program director of Brock Radio, as to why that money has been accumulated. But I think we can move on from the point, unless you have a response to that moving forward.
I would just respond with the purpose of the Strategic Expansion Fund is to collect money for student projects. Like, that's the purpose of it. I would argue that the purpose of Brock Radio is not to collect student funds. It's to use student funds and to give back to students. So to be a student radio station,
okay,
not to collect money.
The petition that started this referendum was initiated by BUSAC counselor Danielle Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've asked her, she will not tell me on the record why she initiated this petition, nor will she share what she told people when she distributed this petition. Why have you become the spokesperson instead of her?
Excellent question, and something that I'm kind of glad you asked, actually. So, yes, Danielle Hunter did start the petition in terms of getting students to be aware that there's purpose to defund. She approached several kind of counselors and other students at Brock about, what do you think about Brock Radio? How is this organization? We had discussions about what we wanted to see from Brock Radio. The discussions range from, do we want the service gone? Do we want reform? What do we want to do with it? And how do we want to approach it? The group that she approached came to the conclusion that we want reform. We don't want to cut funding. We have a problem. We have a alleged problem. We see an issue that students might want to be aware about. Let's figure out a way that we can fix it. Let's not just get rid of it. Let's try to fix it first. So we had, I don't want to say a splitting of ways. We just had maybe a bit of disagreement about how to proceed from that point on. So we had discussions, and Danielle decided that it would be in the best interest to step down. And at that point, I kind of took up the referendum call.
So Ms. Hunter and yourself and the other members of your campaign are members of BUSAC.
Mm-hmm.
BUSAC has the power to initiate a referendum with a simple motion and a majority in council. Ms. Hunter or yourselves could have initiated a referendum through BUSAC, but chose to use a petition instead. What's the reason for that?
Before I answer the question, I just want to give one point. Danielle Hunter is actually not part of the campaign team. She was part of the petition team, not part of the campaign team. And in fact, as a part of the petition team, she wasn't involved in collecting any signatures.
I see.
So she had her name on it at the beginning. That's kind of when we had the way of, well, what do we want to be telling students? How do we want this to go through? And that's when the kind of split happened. So she's actually not involved on this campaign. She was involved on the petition campaign. Now, to answer the question...
Yeah, why not approach this issue through BUSAC itself?
Mm-hmm. We didn't want this to be an issue of, here's students who are allegedly more aware about issues on campus, or who should be made more aware, or who have access to more information. We wanted to go out and ask students what their opinion of Brock Radio was. Potentially, being involved in BUSU might kind of cloud the vision of what counselors think, or of the way that... this group of students kind of views other organizations. So we didn't want to be clouded by that. We didn't want to come in with any biases. We wanted to have a question and to talk with students face to face and to see if they thought this was an issue.
So instead of generating a perception that it's BUSU itself going after Brock Radio, the perception is that this is the will of the students. However, isn't there not a separate sort of issue? And that's when you present a motion at council as a group writes out the contents of the memorandum of understanding. In this case, council had no say into the contents of the Memorandum of Understanding, meaning that the elected and acclaimed representatives on council weren't able to lend their voice into the nature of this referendum. And instead, because it was a petition, a quorum-level petition, with about 360 or so signatures, more like 390 if I remember the numbers, that meant that council didn't have the opportunity to review and change the Memorandum of Understanding. I'm not sure if that's a question.
I can respond.
Yes, please.
So the idea was, like, the original idea was reform, was to change the Memorandum of Understanding. The issue is councillors can't change that. In order to change it, you have to be a member of the governing body. When you came to, so when the Sunset Clause ended on Brock Radio and they came before with the MOU, then they can change it. Because the Sunset Clause has ended, you're coming to them with it. In terms of calling it to question, councillors cannot touch the MOU. They're not members of it. It's the same issue that we had when we were trying to write it in the first place.
So if the Memorandum of Understanding can't tell Brock Radio what to do, then why, how could that Memorandum of Understanding be installed, let's say, later in the year? Assuming that Brock Radio, the majority vote to defund Brock Radio this October, and then that the hope is to refund it later, who has to make the initiating steps in terms of rewriting the governance model of Brock Radio?
Awesome question. So the one is the Memorandum of Understanding is the ultimate bylaw that Booser has to respond by, so that Brock University Student Radio has to respond with. However, it cannot be edited by anyone who is not a member of Booser, which means that, sure, the MOU can give powers, and it can take powers, and it can kind of set things up, but it can't be touched by people who are not part of Booser. But it gets voted on by students. So that's kind of, that's the issue that we kind of have with the MOU, in that as a student, as a BUSAC counselor, it's untouchable right now. So the only thing I can really do is motion to defund.
But is that entirely true? I mean, this year, BUSAC created Bylaw 4200, which is the Referendum and Ancillary Fee Implementation Review Committee. Would it not be more appropriate if there are concerns that these concerns with Brock Radio are brought to Bylaw 4200 and let that process play out?
So I was actually one of the writers of Bylaw 4200.
Okay.
I sit on Legislative Affairs. And I'm also, I sit on the Referendum Implementation Levy Review Committee as well. The issue with that bylaw is it focuses specifically on the finances. So how is the money being spent? The point of this campaign, the money is kind of an issue that we're curious about, but that's not the point of it. The point is, how are your students being represented? That's not something that the RILRC, or whatever the acronym turns out to be, can comment on. They just look at finances. If the finances are not in question, it becomes called up.
But do they not also just provide committee reports on the vitality or the viability of a given levy?
So the idea of the reports are, it's literally just to report on. So we looked at Booser. Here are their funds. This is what they're spending their funds on. It all checks out, or it all doesn't check out. This is their net assets. It's to more formally present that report to council, and to, so that way other ancillary fees are aware that, yeah, we're looking at how you're spending student money. We want to know, is it being spent appropriately, or is it just going to people's pockets? That's kind of my interpretation of Bylaw 4200 and in the spirit that it was written in. So a little different than how this referendum is kind of coming about.
Would not defunding be considered a last straw?
Normally, under most circumstances, absolutely. So with things like OPERC, or things like with Brock TV, or even Brock Press, I think, is Brock Press an ancillary fee?
Yes, $270 a credit. Yeah.
So with those ancillary fees, the way that it's written is students are all members of them, which means students can comment on how their structure works. The way that Booster works is students are not members, which means students cannot comment. So the only thing, honestly, the only option that we have, if we want to comment on it, is to say, do you want to keep paying? That's the only thing we can touch at this time. You asked one of your previous questions, we didn't quite get to it, but you asked, it was something along the lines of like the next step. So if this goes through, who has to take the next approach?
Mm-hmm.
It's being assumed by kind of our campaign team that, I mean, you're going to want to get funding back. So you're going to come to BUSAC and you're going to present an MOU to BUSAC. So that way you can kind of rehave the question done. When that presentation happens, that's when the counselors can look at it and kind of start amending things with your permission. As far as that's one option to go. The other option is you can just get 300 signatures, 308 signatures, I believe you need this year, installing, like getting permission for your own MOU again. So kind of doing a student position, just as how we ran a student petition. So in that way, council once again cannot touch the MOU. We hope that isn't that is not what ends up happening here.
In my work, I've been very critical of the Brock Press. I've also been very critical in the past of Brock TV. In order to pursue the vision that I think that Brock Press and Brock TV could have, I never did launch a petition to defund these organizations. Instead, I launched websites. I launched advocacy pulpits. So, for example, my website, brockbug.com, and my Twitter, at brockbug, are outlets of criticism so that these organizations don't have to face defunding, and instead what they face is just straight-up criticism. And I suppose what my response to this entire thing is, like, when did BUSU or BUSAC or any students ever write a letter to Brock Press and say, here are our issues, here's what we think you could do to fix it, and please do fix it? Instead, what we have is a counselor who doesn't use the council process, instead uses the petition process, and forces Brock Radio to basically comply or die. Again, it's not a question. It's just sort of my point of view on that. But I imagine you have a response.
Absolutely. So the first one is, you're probably going to want to re-say it because you said Brock Press, not Brock Radio.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just go with it. Okay. It's okay.
I'm assuming Brock Radio is what it was meant. So with Brock Radio, so why we went about doing it this way. How successful would you say your website was, your Twitter is, in terms of advocating for them? A little biased, actually, in terms of asking the question, so we'll just pretend I didn't ask it.
Well, no, I think it's a fair question. How effective have I been? I don't think I'm reaching the masses, but I'm pretty confident that the decision makers, the influencers, are paying attention to the contents of the material I'm doing. And certainly with Twitter, whenever I tweet at Brock Press, at the Brock Press, they receive that tweet. Whenever I tweet at Brock BUSU, they receive that tweet. So there is an actual communication node. And the reason I'm the gadfly is because gadflies are critical for progress. So I wouldn't be able to objectively gauge my level of influence, but I can say that there has been some acknowledgement of the perspective that I have, which didn't exist prior. I, for example, Brock TV did restructure in 2010. Brock TV is a division of, it's Division 13 of BUSU. So it's already under the human resources umbrella of BUSU. However, Brock Press is a separately incorporated entity, and as is Brock Radio.
So in terms of, I guess, to even kind of complete the kind of comment that you're making about why did we go about forcing the issue on Brock Radio? Well, it's possible to just ignore criticism. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I've been advised by people who've run referendums, who have run for election at school, who tell me, I shouldn't be reading your reports. I shouldn't. There's no point in me reading the bug. There's no point in me looking at any kind of criticism. The same could be said for an organization. Why am I going to look at those people who are criticizing me? It was the belief of the referendum and kind of the idea that, yeah, we wanted results. We wanted to have this question posed to students of, do you want restructuring?
Okay, but that's not the question that's posed.
It's because we can't even pose that question. That's how much restructuring, I believe, is needed. If I can't pose...
Let's get into the structure itself. From my understanding, the structure of a campus community radio station is defined by the provisions in the CRTC. From my research, I see that the structure of Brock Radio is in line with the CRTC's mandate for what the structure of a campus and community radio station has to be. So if there are problems with the structure, then the complaint is actually with the CRTC and not with with Brock Radio itself.
Is that the case with the 8 hours in order to be a member?
Okay. So, but for example, if I wanted to influence Brock TV, I would need to be a member of their team.
I believe actually you just need to be a student in order to touch their kind of bylaws and their board of directors. So any student can occupy that and can change that. Because as a student, you're a member of Brock TV.
But at the Brock Radio, there's the board of directors consists of a student at large, as well as a BUSAC counselor and as well as a BUSU executive. And then there's two other student positions as well. Mm-hmm. So why has, in your view, has there been such limitations on the amount of student involvement in the board of directors of Brock Radio?
Before I get to that, there are two limitations, I think, in terms of students being involved at Brock Radio. The first one is that students are not members. Because students, in order to be a member based on one of your bylaws, they need to have volunteered for 8 hours. So 8 hours of volunteer work in order to be a member, which means although I pay $7.50 per year because of the $1.50 per credit fee, and as a full-time student, I'm not a member, which means I can't comment on any kind of changes that need to be made without doing an extra 8 hours of work.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt, but you can comment by speaking to the BUSAC counselor on the board. You can talk to the BUSU executive who's on the board. So in the system of representational democracy, the students, and this was set up in this way, the students do have a voice on the Brock Radio board, and that is through their elected representatives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moreover, how would a separately incorporated entity such as Brock University Student Radio Inc. even check to see if the student is an ancillary fee paying student? They don't have access to those records in the first place. So how would they know if someone was to approach them and say, hey, I'm a voting member? How would they confirm that information?
A possible way to confirm it would be talking with BUSU. BUSU has records of who actually is a student. You can ask for things like potentially calendars or their course schedules. Get them to sign it. You can get kind of around that in terms of even just paying for credits. That would be something where, that is extra work to do, but it's something that could still be done. And to answer the other question that you asked, to comment on the board of directors structure. So there are 8 potential seats for a board of directors to sit on. Of those seats, you have, I believe, 5 of them can be made up of students. So the majority of them should be made up of students. Currently, there is, I believe, 1 student who sits on your board, and there are 3, there's 1 faculty position, and then there are 2 community members who sit on your board, which means right now there is 1 student there with the other voices. I understand that there was...
So is that central to the crisis that you're portraying in Brock Radio's governance?
The issue with how the board structure is set up now, from my perspective, is... So a student at the beginning of the year when this was run, there were 2 members of board who were not students who were sitting on there. I believe this was before you had the student member of board who was sitting on that. So as a BUSAC counselor... kind of came on. Daniel Hunter and Istafa Sufi were the two counselors who kind of sent. I believe Istafa stepped down from that. So Daniel Hunter.
the way it works is that BUSAC nominates a slate of counselors to be presented to Brock University Student Radio at their annual general meeting. Mm-hmm. 2 counselors were on that slate, Istafa and Danielle. Mm-hmm. Danielle submitted a letter which was read at the annual general meeting, and she was subsequently voted onto the board. Mm-hmm. But during her training session, she walked out of the board. So she left her seat. She left her representational position and instead circulated a petition to defund the radio station, believing that the radio station didn't represent the student interest.
Absolutely. So issues there. Valid point in terms of issues being raised. So we have a student who now leaves the board and complains that there are not enough student representation who sit on the board. I don't specifically know her reasons for why she left the board of directors. That's something that I would be curious about, and I would hazard somebody should be asking in terms of that question. But right now, student representation on the board, is it strong or is it not there? I would argue the student is entirely outvoted on the board of directors.
Are we dealing with a lack of awareness or cognizance of the barriers between the central on-campus BUSU culture and the off-campus culture of Brock Radio? Do we really recognize the barriers? Because from my point of view, it seems like the finger's being pointed at Brock Radio. Brock Radio's problematic because Brock Radio is. But the overall context of why Brock Radio has issues, like, for example, when is the last time BUSU ever retweeted Brock Radio content? Well, the answer is never. The from my view, and I think this is what Ms. Kartmer will say when we speak with her after this interview, is that BUSU has, if not intentionally, then inadvertently, systematically excluded Brock Radio from the central student culture. And that is, to me, that this referendum isn't taking responsibility from the BUSU's perspective. It's not taking responsibility for the barriers that exist. I mean, Brock Radio isn't even played on campus. Sure, there are large banners in some of the hallways, but I think that is something to recognize, that it's, in, from my opinion, and I guess I've sort of fallen out of my interview mode and started standing on my soapbox here, but from my point of view, the pointing the finger at Brock Radio without pointing a finger back at the individuals who are behind this referendum, I think it's hypocritical.
So this is getting at the long-standing history between Booser and BUSU.
Mm-hmm.
There's history here, without a doubt. This history goes back, I don't know how long. I was not around for any of it.
This is
my first year even being involved in BUSU.
Yeah.
So this isn't a history lesson that I'm particularly versed in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one that I would think, for sure, you could point fingers. I'd say there should be some finger pointing on both sides here.
Right.
In terms of, is BUSU doing the best that can be done to help support Brock Radio? Is Brock Radio doing the best that it can do to help support students? I believe that these two organizations can work really well together. Right now, Brock Press is working with BUSU pretty well. BUSU is working with Brock Press pretty well, from my point of view. From my point of view, Brock TV is working pretty closely with BUSU. BUSU is working pretty closely with Brock TV.
Well, Brock TV is a division of BUSU.
True. So why are steps not being made on both sides? You mentioned, so currently there's no BUSAT counselor who sits there on there, and then the BUSU executive is a whole kind of other issue. It would be fantastic to have CFBU actually come to one of our BUSAC meetings and say, this is what a board of director does for BUSER. This would be a great opportunity for you in order to sit here. Here's the benefits of it. And we need more people. We need people in order to sit on here.
Right.
When
Danielle Hunter walked away from her seat on the board of directors, BUSAC never motioned to replace her. No new slate was ever submitted to the Brock Radio Collective. So how can that even be an issue? I mean, BUSAC hasn't taken responsibility for the fact that Danielle Hunter was unwilling or unable to fulfill her duties on the board. Therefore, she needs to be replaced. Moreover, at the annual general meeting, the vice president of finance and administration, Christopher Yent, was rejected by the Brock Radio Collective. At the time, I was confused by that decision, and I thought it represented a burnt bridge. Nevertheless, BUSU didn't send a replacement, and it's unconventional to have a VPFA on that board, and much more conventional to have a vice president of student services. So here we have two seats that BUSU is holding back from Brock Radio. Plus, we have a long 12-year history, at least 12-year history of BUSU and Brock Radio in some sort of squabble. The metaphor I use is, imagine the kid who grows up having never been invited to Thanksgiving. They stop even expecting to go, and they stop even being invited. So it's this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy. The family member, Brock Radio is a family member of the students, is not invited, and then assumes that it won't be invited, and then doesn't act as if it would be invited, and then there's this split in the family.
I can even one-up that metaphor for you.
Okay.
I am in neuroscience, which means here's some behavioral psych work that was done for you. So there was previous research that was done with monkeys. You put five monkeys in a cage, you give them a ladder in the middle, and you put a banana on top. There's not a lot of room in this cage because they won't be here for very long. The first monkey who moves up to get the banana, he touches it. The other four monkeys get a small shock. The shock is painful enough that they don't want to be shocked again. Mm-hmm. Gets the banana, comes back down and eats the banana. A little while later, banana goes back on the top of the ladder. Monkey climbs up the ladder again. The other four monkeys pull the ladder climber down and start essentially beating on that monkey because they don't want to get shocked again. That monkey is then removed So ladder climber monkey is taken out. A sixth monkey now gets put in, who has no idea what's going on. I actually told that wrong.
Okay.
I'll correct that. So the monkey once again climbs the ladder to take the banana. The other four monkeys proceed to beat that monkey and not let that monkey take a step on that ladder. One of the four monkeys who were involved in the beating becomes removed from the cage. So a now sixth monkey becomes introduced. So now there are four monkeys. There are three monkeys who are aware of the shock. One monkey who was just beaten for trying to grab a banana. And then a fifth monkey. That fifth monkey starts climbing the ladder. The other four monkeys now start beating on that monkey. One of the original three beaters becomes removed. So now there's two monkey beaters, two monkeys who have been beaten, a fifth monkey becomes introduced yet again. This continues until there are only monkeys in the cage who have no idea why the hell they're beating on anybody who touches a ladder. They just know that they were beat on before.
Okay.
So right now, are we in a cage just full of monkeys beating on each other? And is there not a monkey who goes, what's going on right now? We need to start changing this.
Yes.
If you want to use that example in future seminars, when things like this come about, be my guest.
Okay.
I would say...
So bring that home for me.
I would say, right now, we are in a cage of monkeys beating on each other. People from BUSU who have BUSU awareness. People in Brock Radio who have Brock Radio awareness of this history. When do we clean house? When do we say, let's get all these monkeys out of the cage. Let's get people in here who don't know the history. And just see what happens.
Okay.
Will there still be a shock? Or will there actually be a banana out of this?
Hmm. So on the display board for Brock, for the defund campaign, there are a series of assertions that have been made that have gained response from Brock Radio.
Mm-hmm.
One of the statements, we've covered a lot of these issues, so there's some of the statements here, and I'm going to just reference what the Brock Radio responded with. So here
actually,
we...
Do you mind if we just go through them one at a time? Because we do have a response for most of them. I just don't want to miss one that might be important.
Okay, so reading now from what Brock Radio published yesterday, they say, debate and discourse is good. Poor research and misrepresentation is not. The Yes to Defund Brock Radio campaign is making statements in their display materials which are untrue or distortion of facts. Here's the breakdown of some of the key issues. Bullet point. Lack of knowledge of the station services resulted in low involvement of students at the station. The response provided by Brock Radio is that 90 students were involved behind the scenes last year, and even more Brock students were interviewed live on air about their music careers, research projects, and involvement in fundraising initiatives, clubs, and more. This morning, I guess that would be yesterday morning, Brock's student was on discussing her holistic wellness portal. How is that a bad thing? End quote.
Okay, so first thing, I think it's fantastic that Brock students are coming here. Can I just say how cool of an opportunity it is to be on a radio show?
Okay.
It's something that doesn't happen all the time. I was kind of excited about. I can now check that off my bucket list.
Right.
I've been on a radio show. So yes. I think that's fantastic that Brock Radio
ironically.
Is going with. Oh, yeah, absolutely ironically. Once again, I have nothing personally against Brock Radio.
Okay.
I just want Brock Radio to be more student-focused.
Yes.
The number of 90 students being involved behind the scenes last year, that is a nice number. I enjoy how high that number is.
Okay.
I'm curious about how many of them stayed.
So, yeah, you asked that question at the beginning of this conversation. Why didn't they stick around?
Yeah.
And I think, of course, the answer would be they have a full course load, or it they didn't connect with them, or maybe they are around picking out songs, or maybe they're clicking share, or maybe they are involved in sort of a casual way. For my radio show, I'm considered a community member, although I did attend Brock University. I'm not currently an ancillary fee-paying student, so I'm not a student member. So as a community member and with this radio program, I spend more than 8 hours a week organizing this program. To do a talk show, a news talk show about Brock University, takes me, out of my personal time, more than 8 hours a week. Full-time students are, first of all, they're 20 years old, I'm 30, and they have a full course load. I have no course load at all. So And I struggle to get this show done every week. I can only imagine what it would be like to be a 21-year-old or 22-year-old, like second or third year, and trying to have a high-quality radio program every single week. So there are quite a bit of barriers to, you know, being a full-time student and having a student-run broadcast entity.
Oh, yeah. Tons of barriers, just like the barriers that you raised. There's a lot of work that goes into making a radio show.
Right.
I have no idea. I know how much work I put in to prepare for this little segment.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how, like, more than 8 hours a week that you put in for this. Being said, if a student wants to do this and have this opportunity, they want to have a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
They're willing to put that effort in.
Right.
Where are they?
Well, we had five people come for a tour this afternoon.
Awesome.
Some of them saying that they're going to be participating in the near future. Many people, such as yourself, feel like, well, this is something off the bucket list. Now my voice has been on the airwaves and so forth. But without getting too detailed on that, let's just move on to the next point.
Okay.
We have here...
Do you mind actually if I sum up kind of my issue with...
Go ahead. Do what you will.
Yeah. So just to sum up, the issue is those 90 students, we don't see them now. We don't see them. As far as I know, I'd love Deborah's response on this. Deborah, your station manager.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love her response, but where those 90 students are, why aren't they, you know, why aren't they kicking around? Why aren't they a part of the culture still? Yeah, they get busy with things. I get busy with things too. But are they passionate enough to sit through the 8 hours of training and to kind of put that training in to get work done? Why aren't they lasting? That's all I'm curious about.
Okay. So that sort of connects to the next bullet point that has been responded here. Quote, low turnout of students at collective meetings and in the board of directors. So we've touched on this a little bit in the conversation, and here's what Brock Radio had to say. Quote, it is true that students sometimes have difficulty making evening meetings, time that was chosen by students themselves. Other students just want to come in, learn new skills, and have fun. They simply are not interested in meetings or governance. Who are we to criticize how students choose to experience their extracurricular activities? Continuing, every year, 5 out of 8 board members are students. The current president of Brock Radio is a student. At the moment, the board is missing some student members, not all, as the campaign material incorrectly states.
Do you mind if I cut you off there?
Go ahead.
I wouldn't say every year, 5 of 8 board members are students, because this year, right now, 1 of 4 board members is a student.
Okay.
So in terms of every year there is the potential for 5 students.
Right.
How often is that potential full?
Sure. So continuing from the point by Brock Radio, quote, BUSAC counselor Daniel Hunter, who was duly elected to the Brock Radio board at the AGM in July, resigned her post before having attended a single board or collective meeting. Rather than serve on the board, she chose to launch a petition to remove the radio station's funding. We've touched on that, so I'll continue. B, BUSU chose not to send a replacement candidate to serve on the Brock Radio board. Brock Radio members chose to not ratify Vice President of Finance Administration Christopher Yent at the AGM. Chris had previously served as the president of Brock Radio, and the members exercised their democratic right to select another candidate, but BUSU chose not to send a replacement candidate.
Can I touch on that one?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so... there's not a lot that I can say about
scoot in a little.
Sorry. There's not a lot that I can say about the executive decision. From my knowledge and what I'm aware, they've decided to continually send and to continually nominate the VPFA for that position. So Christopher Yent is continually being nominated. In terms of the whole Daniel Hunter and BUSAC not sending another representative, that's monkeys again. That's monkeys now pointing fingers. We say, you don't come and tell us you need another one. You say, they don't come and send us another one. Let's have a conversation and say, yes,
absolutely,
it's needed.
Okay.
What do you need from a BUSAC counselor? What do you expect from a BUSAC counselor? Because that's the other thing. When that was decided, that was the first time we got together as counselors this year. We had no idea what was expected. We had no idea what was needed. It was just, did it sound cool or not to join up with? Let's get you guys in here talking with us, telling us we need how many more of them. We want to get as many people as we can to be put on the slate. Come to our AGM and let's see who we like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come to us, let us know the benefits of being on it. It's something where clearly we've identified there's an issue of not a student here. I don't see an urgency on BUSU's side in order to get somebody there. Being said, I don't see urgency on BUSU's side either.
Right.
I just see students not getting what they need from the service because of lacking representation.
I see.
Sorry for cutting you off.
No, not at all. It's a conversation. Financial accountability. So I'm quoting from the points that were raised in the display board. Quote, there is little student oversight and there is no control over how student money is spent. And the response from Brock Radio is, really? 5 out of 8 board members are students. Every year, 1 BUSU executive and 1 BUSAC counselor sits on the board, on the radio board. Is the yes side saying that they have been irresponsible?
The yes side is saying they're not sitting right now.
Right.
They're not on the board of directors. They're not there, which means... in terms of how the money is being spent, who's being hired, how is the money being kind of not given back to students, but how is it being spent to best represent a student radio station? There is no representation right now. And this is the fact that one BUSAC councillor has walked away and the fact that BUSU executive was kind of turned down, you could argue shouldn't happen. You know, if the students agree, or the student representative in the student body, so BUSAC says, you know what, we come to the conclusion, we want this person to sit on board. They should be able to do that. We did. That decision was okayed. If the BUSU executive, who are voted in by students, if they come to the conclusion of, we want the VPFA, Christopher Yent, to sit on board, why should the collective be able to say, do you know what, we don't think so. And that's kind of the question, is why does the AGM have the opinion to say, we don't like that student? Because when does it stop? When does it get to the point of, right now, your AGM has the power to go, we don't like any BUSAC counselor, we don't like any BUSU executive.
Right.
Which means we don't even like any student at large who are presented, because we feel that all these student at large have a conflict of interest. Therefore, we can continually have two community members and one faculty sit and control this finances. That can happen based on the previous MOU from last year. Okay. That is what we want to see changed.
But we do both agree that BUSAC hasn't sent a new slate and that BUSU hasn't sent a new executive.
So in terms of BUSAC, it has never been presented at a BUSAC meeting. That's something that should happen, and something that I'd like to happen. Right now, I am not a sitting member of BUSAC. I have class during the time, so I've been excused. It's something that I would like to come up there.
Okay.
So it's not something that I can directly have control over right now. It's something that if this continues, you better believe it in January. That'll be the first thing on the agenda, if I can put it there. In terms of the BUSU executive, I only know the rumblings that I hear, and the rumblings that I hear is the BUSU exec was a little angry that the person that Christopher Yent, who they selected and thought would be the best person to sit on your board, was turned down. Mm-hmm. Which means the BUSU exec is probably going to either keep sending that person, or they just had a monkey kind of beat on them and they didn't really like the feeling. So why are they going to go back up to grab the banana?
And from the board's perspective, Mr. Yent was the president of the board while simultaneously had the first referendum against Brock Radio, in favor of Brock Radio. The accomplishment that he told me at the time was that at least the question in the March 2012 referendum about Brock Radio was in the affirmative. Do you continue supporting Brock Radio? They have some experience with Mr. Yent, and at the time, I was at that annual general meeting, and I essentially erupted with a bit of a rant saying, if you turn away Mr. Yent, then you're burning bridges to BUSU. And indeed, it looks like it was perceived in that way. Nevertheless, Brock Radio maintains that, from what I've heard, that they have a democratic right to choose who goes on that board, and if they felt that Mr. Yent wasn't the right choice, then doesn't BUSU have a responsibility to send someone else?
Valid point. And I guess the issue is, you know, students not being a part of the collective means that the student voice arguably is not being heard at your AGM. You could argue that only the students who participate can have a say in it. Mm-hmm. Well, the students voted the exec in. They voted these people. They put trust in these people, which means that the larger student voice says, we want Christopher Yent, that the executive have decided that Christopher Yent would best represent them and best represent you on the board of directors for their sense of student interest.
So in your restructuring vision, would the BUSAC counselors, would there be no BUSAC slate? There'd just be, this is your BUSAC rep. Would there be no vote onto whether or not the BUSU executive is on the board? It's just, yep, this is your exec. Deal with it.
So the way that I believe that the wanted MOU to be written, and the way that I kind of foresee structuring, is students, just as students kind of vote on Senate, and just as students arguably vote BUSAC counselors and vote BUSU executives in, they have put trust in the decisions that were made from there, which means that they put trust in that, yeah, this BUSU executive, who the exec feels would best represent them, would be the best person to come forward. So I don't know why the Brock Radio collective is able to say, we actually disagree with the students, when the students are paying for 86%. It's absolutely a matter of opinion, and it's of my point of view that shouldn't be happening, and that if the students put trust and they put their money in you, but they put their trust in the executives and they put the trust in BUSAC counselors, when BUSAC comes to a decision of, these are the counselors we want, they should be the ones to get on there. When the exec come to the decision of, this is the exec we want, the exec should be on the board.
Okay. So another point raised by the display board for the Yes to Defund campaign is the matter of transparency. No minutes or publication documentation. The website only lists one contact person who's not a student. The response from Brock Radio was, there have been publicly available minutes on the website for well over a year. One of the first things the new board did was start posting board minutes, as seen on the old website. Writing here that the minutes pages simply has not migrated to the revamped still-in-progress website yet, and the contact listed on the site includes a link to the student music director.
Yeah.
So that's challenging this statement here that website lists only one contact person who's not a student.
For sure.
The music directors are students.
So we have screenshots of both your current website, of every single page on it, and we have screenshots of your previous website, of every single thing on it. You're right. There is a link to minutes.
Yes.
If you have the link ahead of time, you can get on there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are screenshots. You can go through. There is no link to minutes. Mm-hmm. There is no link to anything on that. Upon clicking that link, and if you look at minutes, the minutes are only available as of July. So there's not even any current minutes. So even if you have this mysterious link that's hidden away and that there's no direct link for on the website, they're not even up to date. To argue in terms of the music directors, look at your current website. Your current website actually says contact information is Deborah. And then as the website becomes updated and is in progress, that's when we'll put the music directors up there. So it's actually not there. So it will be there, but it's not there right now. How long will that to-be-fixed sign be up there?
Sure. The next point raised by the display board is that there are only 2.5 hours of Brock-related programming. I'm proud to say that Point of View made that list.
40%.
Well, do you see the irony that a community member is creating content for students?
I think it's fantastic that a community member is creating content for students. It's fantastic that there's radio shows that are focused about being on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you continue her quote, she talks about other radio shows that, yeah, we bring students on. We have students who kind of talk with them. They're not directly focused on being on campus. There's your show. Which looks at the kind of the point of view and kind of covers student politics and student issues that are up there.
Mm-hmm.
If that's a safe kind of summary.
Absolutely.
Then there is the show that's about Brock Sports that takes place. That is another full hour dedicated to Brock. If you look at the other shows, yeah, you can get people from Brock on.
And then there's Inquisitive Minds or Inquiring Minds.
Yes, which now I can't find any information about the hosts, but that one is it asks questions.
That host is Mike Saunders, and he's been hired through the spoken word development coordinator position, which is a grant that came from the Community Radio Development Fund. So his $18,000 for the year money is actually not paid for by students.
Cool.
Just as a detail,
I understand that. Yeah, the $18,000 not provided from students. So are we going to say that the money that students give should go to students and the money that students don't give should go to non-students? Because if that's what you want to play at, you're going to be hiring a lot of students pretty soon.
Okay, so we have covered the broad strokes and actually gotten into quite a bit of nuance on this conversation. It's gone a lot longer than we expected.
I apologize for that.
No, that's all right.
Chatterbox.
Well, this has been an interesting experience because I've kind of been hosting a debate between the two of us. You weren't able to present at the Monday debates, and as a non-student, I wasn't able to participate. So this has been, I think, a rewarding conversation. And I hope that it'll be the beginning of a rapport, that this doesn't represent the end of Brock Radio, but it represents a new beginning. I sincerely hope that all parties involved take responsibility. Instead of pointing the finger across the aisle at the other side, I sincerely hope that both sides say, what can we do together to work together? I've been a critic of student-funded media for almost 4 years. First, I was a critic of Brock TV. Now I'm a critic of Brock Press. And I'd say that there are things to be critical about with regards to Brock Radio. However, my position is that defunding isn't the answer, and instead the answer is all the members of the constituency, the stakeholders, that means BUSU, that means the student body, and that means the community members that help run this organization, have a responsibility to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's stop beating let's stop the monkeys hitting each other. Let's start giving each other bananas at this point. We think that there's, I mean, the point, it's really unfortunate that it came down to the only way to raise the question in a loud enough voice was to raise the defund question.
Okay.
Let's now that the question has been raised and there's, well, what are the issues with Brock Radio? Mm-hmm. What do some students see as issues with Brock Radio?
Right.
Now that that big question is there, let's start going through it and let's start answering that question and let's kind of get down to it and let's start making things better for both of us.
Well, we've been talking with Andrew Kemble, who is on the Faculty of Mathematics and Science.
Correct.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for coming in and having this candid conversation about Brock Radio.
Thank you very much for having me. Like I said, off my bucket list. Thanks.
You are listening to Truly Diverse Radio, CFBU, 103.7 FM, St. Catharines.
I'm joined in the Brock Radio recording studio now by Program Director Deborah Cartmer. Deborah, there's a referendum happening right now. This week is the week that campaigning takes place, and next week voting takes place. We've just had Andrew Kemble, who is the Yes to Defund spokesperson from the campaign. So I have some questions for you. Thank you so much for joining me. First of all, let's learn a little bit about the mythical Deborah Cartmer. When did you become involved in Brock Radio, and what motivates you to stay involved?
I got involved in Brock Radio when I was a full-time student at Brock, and I had worked in commercial radio for a few years and was pleasantly surprised to see there was a station on campus, so I became a volunteer and was there for a couple of years and then eventually wound up being the program director.
What was your major?
Film.
So what motivates you to stay involved?
I really believe in campus and community radio, what it can offer to students for an experiential learning process, and what it offers to the community, and how it can work to connect Brock with the community. For years, Brock has been up on the hill and disconnected in some ways from the community, and I think it's a great service for the campus as well as the community.
Can you please explain to me the governance structure of Brock Radio and how it was initially established?
Sure. That's more really a board question. I'm staff, and that's a board issue. But the structure of the board has two student auxiliary members. They are students who are involved in the station and have put in 8 hours of volunteer time. One student at large, which can be any student at Brock University. A BUSAC representative, so a representative of the student council at Brock. A BUSU executive, so one of the four VPs who were elected, sits on our board, as well as two community members and one faculty member.
And how was that initially established?
That was established in the beginning of CFU. I was not there at the time, but it was created in cooperation with representatives from BUSU and BUSAC and to align with the regulations required by the CRTC. So that has been in place pretty much from the beginning of CFBU, so I would say approximately 1997. That structure has been in place. Last year, there was a referendum to reaffirm whether students wanted to continue to fund Brock Radio. It was a yes vote, and attached to the MOU for that yes vote was the outline of the structure of Brock Radio. So exactly who's on the board, how much student representation, and that was part and parcel of the MOU, and Brock students voted yes for that structure.
So what is the role of the CRTC in establishing the structure and nature of Brock Radio?
Well, the CRTC has rules around all radio licenses, of course, and in campus and community radio, they dictate that there should be balanced representation from certain parties. And those parties are the university itself, the community that the radio station is located in, as well as faculty or administration at the university. And that's why we have the structure we do.
The fact that Brock Radio does not play Top 40 isn't merely a matter of taste, but it's because campus community radio stations must play something like 90% non-Top 40.
Absolutely. All campus and community radio stations are under the same guidelines. We all cannot play hits. There's a certain level of hits that they can play, but the bulk of what we have to play are not hits.
What other aspects of Brock Radio are mandated by the CRTC license?
In addition to the board structure and providing, you know, time to the community, so airtime to the community for community announcements or participation from community members, There's also the programming, which you touched on, and certain quotas of programming, certain quotas of what we call Category 3 music, so things like jazz and blues and other types of music. So we are actually mandated by the rules to air certain percentages of those types of music.
Is there such thing as a campus-only radio station?
There are. There are training radio stations at places like Mohawk or Niagara College, and they are a very different animal. So they are largely designed to be training facilities. So their purpose is to train people to be broadcasters, whereas our station and most of the other stations at various universities that are campus/community, that's not our role. It's to make access available to the community and the students, but not to train broadcasters necessarily.
So I had a conversation with Andrew Kemble, who's the Yes campaign spokesperson for defunding Brock Radio. And in that conversation, he noted the arguments that were made on the Brock Radio website. And one of the things that was made by the Yes campaign's display board, one of the claims they made is that there is a low involvement of students at the station, with Brock Radio replying that 90 students were involved behind the scenes last year, and so forth. So Mr. Kemble responded by saying, well, if there's 90 students, where are they? So Deborah, where are they?
Well, he was here yesterday at the station, and if he had been here a little bit earlier, he would have seen that we had 9 students in yesterday, 3 that are actually in training, 1 that's a staff person, 1 that we interviewed in the morning, 4 more came in later in the day to sign up for training. And then yesterday alone up at Brock, we had 7 more students sign up to be volunteers. So that's, by my count, 16 students in one day that had a contact with CFBU.
And is that typical of the day-to-day of Brock Radio?
Well, there are probably an extra 7 there we don't normally have. But yes, so, and the reality is that students are busy people. You know, they're holding down multiple part-time jobs. They've got high workloads. So we don't expect people to stay here until they're 90. They can come in, they can get some work experience, and people do graduate, they do move on, they just get busy. So certainly you can't expect everyone who gets involved here to stay forever.
Another point that the Yes campaign raises on their display board is that they say there's only 2.5 hours devoted to student programming. Is that even accurate?
Well, it depends how they define that, right? I mean, they have a very narrow definition, so that if they're specifically talking about campus things. But what they didn't factor in, which, you know, was in the response, is that there are many shows here that, for example, there are shows that are actually hosted by faculty that certainly cover issues on campus. They're maybe broadcast in French, so perhaps that's the problem. They're not bilingual. One of them is a French language program. They interview all sorts of people about campus issues, including students. And the other program, Pizza Box Catalog, they interview all sorts of people involved in dramatic arts and fine arts and visual arts. So, yes, there are other shows that are actually doing things about campus-related events.
Another point raised by the Yes campaign on the display board is that of financial accountability. Quote, there is little student oversight and there is no control over how student money is being spent. So what is Brock Radio's response to that?
Well, I actually found that kind of amusing because I don't know how much more oversight there can be. We provide our financial statements. First of all, we're audited. We have to be audited. And in fact, our auditor is BUSU's auditor, the same auditor. So we present our financial statements at the end of the year at the AGM. We hand over a copy of those financial statements to the BUSU executive. And in addition to that, we actually have a BUSU executive sitting on our board. We have a BUSAC counselor sitting on our board. And we have the remaining 6 people. So to say that there's no oversight of the finances is really quite something. And to say that there's no student involvement in the oversight is really quite amazing because 5 of 8 board members are students.
And what Mr. Kemble said earlier in this broadcast was that only 1 out of 4 current board members are students. So what's the context of that? Why is that the case presently?
Well, we're missing 2 in particular, 1 BUSU executive and 1 BUSAC counselor. And as we point out on that response, the BUSAC counselor resigned. The BUSAC counselor is the person responsible for launching the petition to defund, which is pretty interesting in itself. And then the BUSU executive is not here because the candidate that they sent was not elected to the board. Our board did ask for another candidate. They asked a couple times at least for BUSU executive, and they also asked for a replacement BUSAC candidate and were not sent one. So
one of the things Mr. Campbell mentioned was that Brock Radio hadn't asked for a replacement, and what you're saying is that Brock Radio had indeed.
Absolutely. I know at least one of the inquiries was made on September the 8th in both cases to BUSU and BUSAC, and I believe that there was another request made immediately after the AGM in person by one of the executives on our board.
So at the annual general meeting, the vice president of the finance and administration was not approved by the Brock Radio Collective. And as you said, BUSU has not sent a replacement executive. So what is Mr. Yent's history with Brock Radio?
Well, Christopher Yent was the past president of CFBU, not last year, but the year before that.
And so the members at the annual general meeting in mid-July of 2013 had past experience with Mr. Yent. So it wasn't, here's just a generic BUSU executive. It was, here's a very specific individual.
That is correct. The interesting thing about this whole referendum issue is, let's be honest about what it's really all about. The only reason that this referendum is happening has nothing to do, and this is my opinion, has nothing to do with our board structure or our finances or lack of student involvement. It's simply because the representative they sent us was not elected at the AGM. Because in reality, if he had been elected at the AGM, he would at this moment in time be sitting on our board, probably along with the BUSAC representative who was duly elected, and there probably would not be a referendum at this time because they would be sitting on a board that they're saying needs restructuring.
So why does the Brock Radio annual general meeting, known as the collective?
No, it's the annual general meeting.
Okay, so why does that entity have the prerogative to say to BUSU, no, we need a different representative?
Because they are a separately incorporated entity, and they have every right to choose who governs them. And just to make it clear, this is not a habit. In other words, it's not like in the past there have been repeated occurrences where an executive from BUSU has been sent to sit on our board and they have been rejected. In fact, CFBU was incorporated approximately around 1997, and every year since then, there has been a BUSAC representative sitting on our board and a BUSU executive sitting on our board every year since then. So this is the only time that I am aware of where someone has not been ratified and they have asked for another candidate.
One of the points raised by the Yes campaign to defund Brock Radio is that the location is off campus and locked. No efforts are being made to try to move back on campus. So what is the situation for being off campus? And is this true that no efforts are being made? Or like, how are they aware of what the efforts are?
Well, exactly. We are not off campus by choice. I don't know if that's known to most people, especially if they're new at Brock.
Can you clarify what you mean by that?
Well, we were located on campus. We were located in Symphony House, which is now Parking Services. And the university basically wanted to decommission that building. We were upstairs in that building. OPERG was downstairs. There was a severe space crunch at the time, as there always is, but it was worse then. And OPERG was able to actually take a small portion of the Brock Press space. So the Brock Press actually lost part of their space in order for OPERG to have a space. And my understanding is that BUSU, because of their agreement with OPERG, was obligated to find them space on campus. We didn't have the same arrangement. And we tried our best to get space on campus, near campus, up on the hill, across the street, and there just was nothing available. So the next best option for us was to be near students in a downtown student residence.
Something that has come up is this idea of there being extra money in Brock Radio's bank account.
Mm-hmm.
So various figures have been thrown around. The display board says $100,000 and $250,000. Simultaneously, it says both points on the same display board. Well, what is the number, and how did that number become achieved? How did we reach that number, and why is it not problematic?
Okay. Well, I don't know any business model I don't know any business person, let's put it that way, who has a problem with anyone having a surplus. Deficits, for sure, but a surplus, I've never really heard of that being a problem too much for anyone. So this is quite interesting to me. There is a surplus because CFBU at one point, BUSU, so the student union, was actually handling CFBU's money. So CFBU never handled its own money. It couldn't write a check. It couldn't do anything because it just didn't have control of the money. BUSU completely controlled that, and they also did the bookkeeping. And there were issues there because there was a deficit running for a few years, and eventually BUSAR, Brock Radio, asked, and were pretty much told at the same time, so it was a mutually agreed upon thing, to take over their own finances. And at the time that they did that, they had a loan outstanding to BUSU, and they had to pay off X number of dollars per year, so approximately $10,000. I could be wrong about those figures. And so they got used to really fine-tuning their budget, not spending any more than they absolutely had to, and wound up having a surplus the first year because they didn't hire another full-time staff person. If they had hired that staff person, they would have had a deficit. So they had to sort of say, well, okay, we can't afford that. Let's just carry on here. So each year there was a slight surplus, and so they put it into reserves, knowing that they could be faced with transmitter repairs, or if they found a better space, they wouldn't need money to renovate and move to that. And over a period of 10 years, it built up to approximately $204,000. I think that's approximately what it is right now.
So what Mr. Kemble said about that is that I challenged him on this idea of money sitting in a bank account and not doing anything,
right,
by comparing it to the Strategic Expansion Fund. His argument was that the Strategic Expansion Fund's express purpose is to be held in reserve, and Brock Radio's express purpose is to spend its money.
Well, the thing is, if we want to move, which is a logical thing to have happen eventually, because we are pretty much almost at capacity here in terms of how many bodies you can fit in 650 square feet in a day, right? And so obviously, if we need to move, we're going to need A, money for the move, B, money to actually renovate, which is, it's not cheap. It's a lot of money to renovate, to make things soundproof and get it ready for a studio. But beyond that, I think what people are not factoring in is we need more staff. We can't hire more staff because there's no space to put them. There is no additional room to put an extra body who could have its own desk. We're climbing over each other as it is, and we can't hire those people until we have a space to put them in. So it's not just the cost of the move or the cost of the build or new furniture, whatever you equate into that. It's the added cost of the staff that you're going to then hire once you have a space to actually put them in.
And is there plans to move? I can't confirm this, but perhaps you can. Is 2015 the year that Brock Radio moves out of the downtown student residence?
Well, I think it's more an issue of when we find a space that's suitable and meets all our needs, then we'll consider it.
But is there a lease agreement that specifically it's up in 2015?
Yes. Is it 2015? Well, we have two more years on the lease.
So let's talk some more about some of the assertions that were made. And whether or not you feel that they are authentic, has the Yes campaign been loose with the facts? And if so, which ones would stick out to you the most?
Well, I think their poster material was a little bit loose with the facts, which we have responded to in most of the points that you have covered. The main sticking point, I think, on their display board was that they said that at the time that they started doing their research for this, which I'm assuming is September, that there were no students sitting on the Brock Radio board, when in fact the BUSAC representative who was elected and who attended board training in August was sitting beside a student representative on the board. So clearly there was a student already on the board before this entire process began.
I feel like we're not getting to the heart of what this discussion's about. What is this discussion about? I mean, you've actually identified a heart of it, and that is, in your view, that because the collective at the annual general meeting declined to approve Mr. Yent, that's why there's a referendum happening. Is it really that kind of political maneuver that's taking place?
Well, I would hope not, because the reality is we're all here for the students. And to me, this entire thing is incredibly counterproductive. I mean, we are providing a service for students. Students do come, they do get involved, and in some ways we change lives in some cases. I know that sounds very hokey, but it is real because we can give them new skills, but more importantly for students who are a little bit shy or maybe not the most self-confident people, we can actually make a difference in how they view life and how their public speaking skills and all of those things. So to me, that's what matters is, you know, are we providing a valuable service to students? And absolutely, we can, you know, anyone, any business, any organization can always promote more, can always do better, can always have more involvement. But considering the size of the space we are in and where we are, I don't think we're doing too badly in that regard. So to me, that's what's important to keep in mind here. I know that the yes side or the people that want to defund keep saying, we're here for the students, we want to protect students' money. Well, I'm absolutely confident that the student money is protected and well spent. And we're, you know, look at these lovely chairs we have here, right? We're not obviously squandering funds. And we have plans, you know, to obviously get more staff and get a better space and all of that down the road when it presents itself. So I don't think from the organizational standpoint that there are any problems at all. It's a mystery to me why, on one hand, they say that they're here to serve the students, but yet they want to restructure and rewrite the entire board structure. Because I suspect that if they went around on campus and said to students, what do you think about Brock Radio? I highly doubt that most of the respondents are going to say, well, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I think they need to restructure their board.
What they actually say is, it's not top 40, I don't listen.
Well, sure, there are students who say that. There are lots of students who do listen and do participate. And there are certainly people who are into top 40 and don't listen.
But is there an argument to be made that even if you don't listen, you could still support it as an entity?
Absolutely, because if you look at the fees that we pay for on campus, and this is certainly a whole other discussion, someone compared it to income tax or property taxes. I paid for the daycare when I was a Brock student. I will never use that daycare in this lifetime.
Right.
But I was happy to contribute. My student fees went towards OPERG. I didn't have time to use OPERG's resources. My student fees went for all kinds of things that I will never had time to do as a student. And I did that happily because they're important services that you want to provide to all students. So we all have to contribute our part.
One of the points I raised with Mr. Kemble was, isn't defunding a last straw? And the question I posed to him is, has Brock Radio ever been asked or sent letters from BUSU or BUSAC which articulate specific concerns? So have you ever actually, has Brock Radio heard and seen, have you ever been sent any requests to deal with the website or deal with your location or whatever issues they happen to mention? Have you ever received a letter saying, hey, what are you doing with this 200K? I mean, have you ever received anything from these representatives?
I personally have never received any request about anything.
Well, you're as a staff member, but as the board then.
To the best of my knowledge, the board has never received anything. And I just want to reiterate once again that in our entire existence, there has always been a BUSAC and BUSU representative sitting on our board at every monthly board meeting. And so if there was an issue, they, you would think, would raise it at the board meeting and say, we've had these concerns raised by person X or Y or the executive. I am not aware of anything, anywhere, anytime.
So is this bullying?
Well, those are your words.
Yes.
I would hope not, but I think the fact speaks for themselves. So, you know, I'm not sure how productive it is to go down that road.
Okay.
I mean, the reality is that this is unfortunate because the students are the ones that are going to suffer if the service is discontinued. And the students who are involved right at the moment are suffering because of the stress and negativity of something like this being thrust upon them. The student volunteers that we have at this moment in time, right? So how fair it is to those people.
And is it not conventional to have a university have a radio station?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's an amazing resource. And I just want to reiterate again, I mean, you asked me why I got involved in the first place. I worked in commercial radio for about 12 years, not full-time because I had other interests and it just didn't pay a lot. But, Yeah. And so when I came to Brock and saw that Brock had this amazing resource on campus, and I'll never forget the day I walked up the stairs in rickety old Symphony House and got to the top of the stairs and thought, wow, what a really incredibly cool place, because of the passion and love for music and spoken word. And people were there because they were passionate about what they're doing. The egos weren't there like in commercial radio. Quite okay saying that on the air. And it was just a very incredible environment in terms of dedicated people who were there volunteering their time to do a show. So that is worth treasuring, because no student anywhere that I'm aware of would ever have an opportunity to go out, go into the local radio station, and immediately, within 3 hours, be on the air, actually operating the controls. That's pretty much unheard of.
In your view, where does Brock Radio have the most room to grow?
Well, physically, that's one. I'm just kidding. You know, we certainly can do better at promotions. And the interesting, the ironic thing, I guess, about this whole thing happening at this particular point in time is we have actually had a very good year. Last year was a very good year for us. We had a board that actually worked as a team very well, and they, you know, rewrote the strat plan and worked on getting grants, writing so we could get some grants to deal with spoken word, and they improved the relationship between the board and the members because there had been some damage done there prior to that. And so everything seemed to be working very well, and we were actually quite excited and really looking forward to this year to see how we could improve on that. We had set aside money from that reserve. Well, not so much from the reserve, but we'd set aside the money to hire a promotions person because we know that we sorely need that. There just isn't enough hours in the day for me to do it all. So that was certainly something we were ready to post. And in fact, we were getting ready to post that position when the referendum issue came about. So it's ironic to me that we were making real strides in dealing with some issues, and then this comes along.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of Point of View. This has been a special presentation of Point of View. You can visit our website at facebook.com/POV Radio. Email me at povradiobrock.com. For more comprehensive analysis of these October referendums, visit my alternative news website, brockbug.com. For more information, also visit busu.net/elections and read those memorandums of understanding.